From the pulpit of the Capital City Baptist Church, we present Pulpit Echoes, a ministry of Pastor Adam Thompson and the Capital City Baptist Church. I'd invite you to stay with us because at the end of the broadcast, we'll give you our contact information. And now with a message from the Word of God, here's Pastor Adam Thompson.
Let's stand together, open our Bibles to Acts chapter 9, Acts 9, 17. Ananias went his way and entered into the house, and putting his hands on him, said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, has sent me that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. And immediately there fell from his eyes that had bent scales, and he received sight forthwith, and arose and was baptized. And when he had received meat, he was strengthened. Then was Saul certain days with the disciples which were at Damascus, and straightway he preached Christ in the synagogue, that he is the Son of God. Acts chapter 9, most of you know, is the testimony of Saul, his salvation there in the Damascus Road. He is sent to the house of Ananias, and there the scales fall off his eyes. Verse 17 says, there he was filled with the Holy Ghost. Verse 20, the result was straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues. Here's what I want you to see in the life of Paul tonight as we speak about the Spirit and the fullness of the Spirit. I want you to see the connection between the fullness of the Spirit and boldness. Because when we look at the early church, this was really the key, the boldness that we see in the body of Christ. And if there's anything that we need in this generation, it's boldness. How we could revolutionize our churches with one message, one truth, and this is the truth. If everybody left with the fullness of the Spirit and with boldness, the church would never be the same. And Paul and these young converts, and it wasn't just him, his case is magnified because of the way God used him. But you see in this book, the fullness came with a boldness. Verse 27, now when he got saved, because of what he did and the harm he had done and the persecution there in the early church, the disciples struggled believing that he was saved. But that same evil spirit that caused him to be bold in his wickedness, now we see a transformation, and everything in his life was drastically changed, including his name. We refer to him now as the Apostle Paul. But that spirit that he had that led him to be evil, that same way he was energized and passionate to do the wrong thing, now we see equal or more energy and passion in doing what was right, and that boldness now to please God and preach the word can be seen in verse 27. But Barnabas took him, brought him to the apostles, and declared to them how he had seen the Lord in the way. Why was he doing this? Verse 26, when Saul was come to Jerusalem, he essayed to join himself to the disciples, but they were all afraid of him. Of course they were afraid. He had been persecuting the church and closing these places down and taking even the women and the children, throwing them into jail. And now we see him preaching boldly at Damascus. Verse 29, and he spake boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus and disputed against the Grecians, but they went about to slay him. Now here's what's so remarkable about their boldness. Christians are very timid in this generation, and really our only persecution is an evil look or someone refusing to give us a promotion in a timely fashion, a bad word, maybe a letter, a scathing letter. But there's nothing that we could consider severe persecution in the United States of America at this very moment or over the past 10, 15, 20 years that we've had to suffer. But in their case, they were being bold knowing that the ultimate cost could have been their lives. We see that they were jailed. We see some were killed. We see that 10 of these original 12 became martyrs for the cause of Christ. Now, when you know what's going to happen, and especially Paul's case, because he had persecuted the church, he knew the possibilities of being bold for Christ and what would happen. He ultimately paid for his boldness with his life. They had a good reason to be silenced. Did you know that Satan is absolutely unconcerned about invisible Christianity? He didn't want to lose your soul, but once you become a Christian, as long as you keep that in your heart, he's fine with you. Just don't talk about it. Just don't mention it. And I'm all for living a godly life, but he's not even concerned about lifestyle evangelism. All my years of ministry, I've never had someone come and say, you know what, I'm seeking Christ because I've seen such an amazing testimony and God revealed through that person, I want what they have. It's never happened to me. They have brought tracts. They have brought invitations. They have come and said, you know what, that person witnessed to me and I'd like to get born again. But I have yet to see, and I know there are people out there, I just personally haven't encountered them because lifestyle evangelism doesn't scare the devil. Public Christianity, boldness in our witness. This is why Satan was living day and night to defeat this man, discourage this man, deter this man, ultimately kill this man because of his boldness. And the disciples knew, go back to Acts chapter 4, the disciples were fully aware the boldness was a sign of the filling of the Spirit. So as much as they wanted to doubt Paul's salvation, as much as they were fearful and wondered about the ploy or the plot or what was actually taking place in his life, when they saw and heard of his boldness, they knew this only could come from above, from God the Father, from the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Look what it says in Acts chapter 4, verse 13. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled. Why? They took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. These men that had spent time with Jesus, the result was boldness. Look what it says in verse 29. When they've been threatened and warned and jailed. Look what it says. Go back to verse 17. But that it spread no further among the people, let's threaten them. Verse 18, they called them, they commanded them not to speak at all nor teach in the name of Jesus. They said, listen, this isn't going to go well for you. We will punish you if you continue to preach this message. So they get together, and here's what they do. They pray, and here's their prayer, verse 29. Now, Lord, behold their threatenings. Grant unto thy servants that with all boldness, there was no prayer for deliverance or for escape or for mercy, but for more boldness. And with more boldness comes more persecution. We know this. This is why we're silenced. The little persecution that we face, we don't enjoy. Our persecution is that tract that is passed across the counter is handed back to us. And that sucks the life, right, the spiritual life right out of us. And the desire to hand out tracts, because the persecution we faced was a tract sliding one way and being returned on the counter. A door being shut in such a fashion that it actually made a slight noise when it hit the frame. That is American persecution. Don't come back to my house. I don't want to see your face again. That is American persecution of Christianity. But these men were being threatened with jail, and upon hearing those threats, they got down on their knees and said, God, would you grant us even more boldness than the boldness that we presently have? Verse 31, when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. Now look at the two, because this is what we want to notice tonight. The fullness of the Spirit and the boldness that it brings, they were filled with the Holy Ghost, and what happened? They spake the word of God with boldness. We talked about the correlation last week between the fullness of the Spirit and wisdom. We spoke previously about the fullness of the Spirit and power. It would be hard for a Christian in this day and age to claim with the fullness of the Holy Spirit, not the indwelling, but the daily fullness, the submission to the Holy Spirit, the subjection to his working in our life, the complete surrender, allowing him to do what he wants to do through us, and yet see an absence of boldness. It's not hard to measure how full of the Spirit the average church is, because there's very little boldness. What you see in this early church is a lot of boldness. And the church was growing and people getting saved and evil was being confronted. And yes, there was persecution, because that's what boldness creates, persecution. And we know that. We know the greatest way to escape the possibility of persecution is through silence. This boldness became contagious. Now, when we talk about boldness, let me clarify. Boldness is not the ability to be obnoxious or loud or undiscerning or crazy or arrogant. This is the courage to speak the Word of God plainly and clearly and openly and honestly. And the flesh doesn't like that. Here's what the flesh will do. The flesh will silence you. The flesh will convince you, be a discreet Christian. Here's the amazing thing that I've seen about boldness. I've seen more Christians disturbed by boldness than I've seen lost people disturbed by boldness. Not that my son is discreet. I can barely put those two words in the same sentence. But Chris has had an energy and a drive and passion for souls for a long time. And I remember one time we were in a very public place with some other Christians, and when he went to pray for the meal, maybe he was too loud, and maybe he shouldn't have stood like that. Maybe he shouldn't have faced everyone else, and maybe he shouldn't have preached a message when he prayed. But one of those Christians present was absolutely furious, furious that he, as a young man, had taken that prayer as an opportunity to give the gospel to all the lost people present. Guess what? No one there that was lost said a word. It's not a problem as far as disturbing the world for the most part. Boldness is disturbing to Christians and to Christianity. I wonder how many people in the church looked at the boldness of Paul and said he needs to tone it down a little bit. I think Peter has become a little excessive. I think these people in the street ministry and the publicity and the house to house and the door to door and all of that, he's a little bit overboard. You know, now that we have thousands out there in the street, we all look different. This is raising a ruckus, and we're going to have problems in Jerusalem if everyone continues to shout the name of Jesus. Let's tone it down a notch or two. And while God is trying to get our message to the public, the devil's never been afraid of the church inside the church. The devil's never been fearful of the music and the amazing choirs and groups and quartets. And he's never been concerned that much about the Christian schools that are all across this nation. That's not a concern to him, because he knows as long as he keeps all of that within the four walls of that building, it's fine. It's as soon as it goes out the doors. But amazingly, Christians can be as loud as they want to be within the house of God. But it's magically, when they walk out that door, their lips are silenced. The same hands that were raised in praise, the same mouth that was energetically singing to the glory of God, now has been silenced. And here's what was taking place. They didn't have a building to hide their Christianity. Those 120 that were in the upper room, they were waiting for the Holy Spirit. The church had no building. Everything was public and publicized. And this man caught fire. And Paul, when he got filled with the Spirit, got filled with boldness, he began to live a life of boldness, and it was disturbing and perturbing. Now, what helps us develop this kind of boldness? How many of you ever looked at your Christian life or sat through a message, read the Bible, and said, I want to be a bold Christian? Anybody ever said that? Yeah, and you put some tracts in your pocket, got a verse on your lips, and you walked out to the store, and you stood in that line, and right in front of you was Mick Jagger, and in front of him was Jack Daniels. And you're just waiting. I wonder how I can discreetly leave a track with this person. And as soon as you started to hand it, you saw that person at the register just look at you like, don't think about it. And all that boldness that you had tried to prefabricate, in a minute, in a second, was gone. And here's what God wants to do. Listen, what we are seeing in the lives of these apostles, in the life of Paul, was not a moment. It didn't happen after a service. It wasn't after a conference. It wasn't just because of the day of Pentecost. It was literally a life that was consumed with getting men the gospel. I don't see the first reason we see boldness. Go with me to Acts chapter 9, verse 4. This is Saul, he falls on the earth. He hears a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? You want to know what will create a boldness that lasts? When there's a reality, a true reality that reaches the heart and the soul and mind, when there's a reality of the presence of Jesus, there'll be a boldness. Amen. Isn't it amazing how our lives change when someone is with us, depending on who it is? Our demeanor changes. Sometimes our manners change. Our energy changes. Our disposition changes. And it has to. I'm not going to act the same way with my mother-in-law that I do with my son. This is the presence of Jesus Christ. And here's what happened on that road. Saul met the Lord Jesus Christ, and it shakes not up, it doesn't shake up his day, it shakes up his life. Because now he's accompanied by the Lord Jesus Christ. And if he is with me, remember the Great Commission? The verse of the Great Commission that's rarely mentioned, we always go to Acts 1:8. But Matthew 28, 18 through 20, right? Yes, we have the command to go in all the world and preach the gospel, baptizing them, teaching them. But what's that last phrase of, verse 20 say? And lo, I am with you always. And when we get that realization, there'll be some boldness. I'm not alone in this conversation. I'm not here all by myself. I have Jesus with me. That ought to stir me to be bold. This world doesn't want me to take Jesus with me. And isn't it amazing? If you have the shirt or if you have the cap or if you have the fish on the bumper of your car, you know, the world's disturbed by anything now. That's a reflection. We think it's silly, but the world's disturbed by it. They don't want you to go anywhere. You bring your Bible now in any place of business. I have a big Bible. When I go to a restaurant, I take my Bible. That obviously bothers people. I eat, read, study, go into a coffee shop, no matter what. I take my Bible in. People start getting nervous. Here's what I've determined. Recently, I went to Mexico, but I often go, and one of our pastors there has a business where he makes barbacoa and he packages it and sells it all across Mexico. Now he's selling it in the United States. But you're not supposed to take any food product across the border unless it's properly sealed. So I know I'm within my rights of taking that. It's sold in the United States of America. I'm within my rights of taking that prepackaged food across the border. So the last few times I've gone, I reach immigrations. It goes through, they find it, they pull it out. And the last time the guy took it out, he said, thank you for dinner. Now here's what I'm going to, I already determined. I told Miguel I couldn't take anything with me this last time. He said, but it just gets taken away from you at the border. I said, it's not going to be taken away. He said, they're not going to let you cross with that food. I said, they are going to let me cross with that food. They won't, Pastor. I'm telling you right now, they're going to give you fits. And they're not going to let you cross with that food. I said, send me one packet. Because the next time he tells me I can't cross with that food, I'm going to open up the plastic, pull out a fork, and eat it. Yeah. That food is going across with me. It's just going to be repackaged. And I'm going to eat it right in front of them. Good. And here's what the world says. They don't want you going anywhere with Jesus. Well, he's inside of me. Guess what? He's going. Wherever I go, he is going. He's got to go with me. He's inside of me. And until we live with the reality of the presence, and I believe these disciples were doing that. They were living every day, not just going through the motions of Christianity, but with the reality of the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ in their lives. In the church today, and Christians today, and members today are living without the reality of the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm convinced the average church member will go his entire day and forget that Jesus Christ is even with him. Because if we live with that reality, we would actually mention him and introduce him to others. So we've got to start living once again with the reality of the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. Acts 4:13, with that verse we recently read, said, those that were rejecting the disciples took knowledge that they had been with Jesus. That's what filled them with boldness. Number two, it's the responsibility of the Great Commission, fulfilling the Great Commission, that'll give us boldness. Look what it says, Acts 9:15. After Saul's salvation, the Lord immediately made it clear, go thy way. He is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. He understood his responsibility concerning the Great Commission. Christians, I'm talking about Austin. And every time I drive through this city and every time I drive through neighborhoods, I think how little of this town have we actually reached with the gospel of Christ. 30 plus years, Capital City has existed in this city. A city that when the church was started probably had a population of 250 or 300,000, now is nearing 2 million people. Our task has only grown, and more now than ever we should be aware. We should be aware that it is our duty to reach every person in this city with the gospel of Christ. I'm thankful for what we're doing for missions. I'm thankful for the men that we're sending out. I'm thankful for these young men in the front row that'll go across the planet and reach other countries with the gospel of Christ. But that does not change our duty right here in Austin, Texas. That can't happen on a Saturday morning. It only happens when an entire church understands their individual responsibility to fulfill the Great Commission. And until that sinks in, I'm not talking about a message, and I'm not talking about a verse, and I'm not talking about you quoting Acts 1:8. I'm talking about when the light of the Word of God lightens, illuminates your mind, and you understand as an employee in that company, as a young person in that school, as a co-worker in that environment, as a neighbor in that neighborhood, you have a divine obligation to fulfill the Great Commission. I don't care who we bring in, how many evangelists, how many pastors, how many times we shout it, how many times we preach it, until each individual comes to the understanding it is God's responsibility given to them individually to fulfill, to reach out, to preach the gospel. This is what caused Paul to be bold. He said, I understand I have been chosen to be a light in a dark place. And he was bold. Yes, he was called to be a missionary, but we're supposed to be missionaries. He said, I am unashamed. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Would it be that we are ashamed? Could it be? Is it that we're ashamed of a church? Is it that we're ashamed of a book? Is it that we're ashamed of a culture, a kingdom, a Christ, a cross? If you look out at this world, there are a lot of things I'd be ashamed of. The behavior of today's society, I would be ashamed of. Christians have been so silenced, literally, fearful. No jail time, no flogging, no stripes, no stoning. And Christians live in fear that someone might find out they're a Christian. I wonder how many Christians have to say, the average person that lives around me, functions around me, works around me, doesn't even know I'm a child of God. Certainly has never heard a clear presentation of the gospel. There's no way that can be God's will for his church when he's given us the Great Commission. He's unafraid. Obviously, Paul, you look at this man's life, he's unafraid of the consequence. He said, it doesn't matter what I have to pay, what I have to suffer, how many times I'm beaten or jailed. Look what it says in Acts 13. We won't skip all of the passages. There's too many to read every one. Let's just mention a few tonight. Acts 13:46. Then Paul and Barnabas, here he is on his missionary journey. He waxed bold and said, it was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you, but seeing that you put it from you and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. Even when he changed his attention, he didn't change his level of boldness. For so hath the Lord commanded us, saying, I have set thee to be a light of the Gentiles, that thou shouldest be for salvation unto the ends of the earth. And because of this boldness, verse 49, the word of the Lord was published throughout all the region. Now we know what happened. everywhere he went, there was persecution. Verse 2 of chapter 14, after he preaches, what happens? The unbelieving Jews were stirred up. They were evil affected in their minds against the brethren. What does he do? Verse 3, long time, therefore, abode they. They didn't ride through town and throw some tracks out the window. They parked themselves and daily spent time speaking and preaching boldly. Could anybody refer to your Christianity as bold? Would anybody you know say he's a bold witness, a bold Christian? Humble, well-spoken, discreet, but bold. Christian, it's time for us to make our faith public. The homosexuals are bold. Men in their sin go down to 6th Street. Now you don't have to wait for the weekend. Go any night of the week. And look at how bold men are in their sin. Facebook. People committing murder and rape and adultery and posting it live. Men are bold in their evil actions. While Christians are ashamed to quote a verse. This boldness always revolved around speaking the word. And the opposition never changed his level of boldness. Look what it says in chapter 19, verse 8. Doesn't matter if it's the first missionary trip, the second, or the third. Verse 8, he went into the synagogue, speaking of Paul. What did he do? He spake boldly for the space of 3 months. Now it wasn't just 3 months. It was here for 3 months. But it was his life. He was determined when he was in the presence of kings. It doesn't matter if it was Festus or the governor or the Agrippa. It doesn't matter who he was with, what position, what power, what authority, or if he was even hoping to leave with his life. He was always going to preach the gospel. Isn't it amazing, those of you that read the book of Acts, when he goes to present his defense in order to save his neck, all he does is preach the gospel. Go with me to Acts 28. He finishes his life boldly. Acts 28, 30 through 31. Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own hired house, received all that came in unto him. What's he doing? Preaching the kingdom of God and teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence. The same boldness had not left him, no man forbidding him. Christians, it's not that Paul never felt fear. Matter of fact, Paul mentions several times that word, fear, that he faced fear, that he had fear, that he felt fear. Boldness is not the absence of fear, it's the overcoming of fear. And when we understand the presence and the reality of Jesus Christ being with us, and we understand the responsibility, the personal responsibility of the Great Commission, we will start to live with boldness. Which means if we're not living with boldness, there's not an understanding that Jesus is there 24/7. And that every single born-again child of God sitting here today, no matter what your personality, no matter how long you've been saved, God is not giving you a personal exemption that says, this week, this month, this year, you get a pass on the Great Commission. God's never handed out one of those cards. Even in your sickest moment, he says there are people here at the hospital that need to hear about my son. Church, can you imagine what would happen if 350 people left this place and became bold in their witness? Daily, perpetually, persistently, bold. Go back with me to Acts 4 and we're finished. When they were threatened, they reported it. Verse 24, when they heard that, the disciples, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord. They begin to pray. Their prayer is what? Verse 29, grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word. Here's how we stir up boldness through reliance on prayer. Now, Christian, let me ask you this. How often do you beg God, God, would you make me a bold Christian and a bold witness? Would you fill me with boldness? If that's what God says. And that's what they did. And here's what happened. They had their prayer answered and were filled with the Holy Ghost. And as a result, they spoke the word with boldness. Maybe we've looked at this whole situation of boldness as something impossible because of our personality, and it's not impossible. What did Paul ask the congregation there in Ephesians 6, verse 18? What did he ask the church at Ephesus to do? There was a plea, and he said, praying always in the Spirit with supplication, in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. So what was he begging the church? I'm going to be praying for boldness, but I need you to pray that I will be bold. Paul, you're the boldest man we know. Why do you think you're always in jail? Why do you think you're beaten? Why do you think your back looks like that? I mean, your back looks like a farmer's field. It's unreal what you've had to deal with. That's because you're a crazy man. You want us to pray that God gives you more boldness? If a man like Paul, who we'd consider the most bold man in all the Bible, was begging the church at Ephesus to pray for him, Philippians 1:20, what's his desire? That with all boldness, I would preach the gospel. So Christians, here's normally what happens. About that time we get bold, we see as we stand up, the world stands up. And if we back down, the world backs down. So we say there's really no reason here to get bold because that just creates a lot of problems. I think my goal is to live peaceably with all men. So the quieter I can do this, the better off we are. There's only one problem, that's not God's plan. Yes, I believe we ought to be discreet. And yes, I believe we ought to be kind. And yes, I believe we ought to be careful. But that doesn't change the fact that as Holy Spirit-filled Christians, we're supposed to be bold enough to daily, consistently proclaim. And here's what I've realized. Most of the time, if you're careful and you're nice and appropriate and timely, people listen to something. Maybe not as much as you hoped or wanted. Maybe just 2 minutes or 10 minutes. Or I've had 4 or 5 total strangers this week listen to a lot of gospel. I know the Holy Spirit gives us opportunities. And I know every time it's a fight with the flesh. And I know every time the Holy Spirit is trying to connect us to the center, the flesh is trying to disconnect us and tell us don't do it. It's going to be awkward. Christian, we're always looking for a truth that'll change our lives. Here it is. This is it. This will change your life. It's not that we're looking for a truth that'll change our lives. We're looking for magic that'll change our personality. If I had his gift, and the average Christian is running afraid of boldness because we have enough common sense to know boldness stirs up trouble. Look at Paul. He was a bold man, and he had his head cut off, and he spent a lot of time in jail. Look at Peter, upside down, crucified. Yeah, look at James, thrown off the pinnacle of the temple. That boldness doesn't pay off, Pastor. That's not the way I want to die. Christians, how is it that the world is bolder in all the garbage of the flesh? They're bolder now in their drugs, sodomy, bestiality, adultery, fornication. They are bold as a lion in the lewdness of their sin, while Christians walk around, as soon as we walk out, the trepidation hits our soul like a Mack truck. We're more determined than ever to be silent, unseen, invisible. If called upon, we've got a verse, but it's a sweet one that won't offend you. And if given a chance for the gospel, we're going straight to John 3:16. For God so loved, and you are loved. And basically, He loves you, you accept His love, it's all good. That's the gospel of this generation. Boldness says there is a heaven, there is a hell. Without Christ, your destiny will be the lake of fire. But God in love would like to change that. If you repent and accept Christ, you can go to heaven. Christians, I'm asking you tonight, what would happen if just a handful truly tonight said, I want to live with the reality of the presence of Jesus Christ. And understand, this is not about Capital City on a Saturday fulfilling the Great Commission. This is about me personally, individually, where God has placed me. And these people that no other person in the church will come in contact with, that is your area, that is your Jerusalem. Because we'll never have any contact with those people. And I guarantee you, any other Christian that does will be just as silent as the rest. I don't care if it's 2017, and I don't care how weird this place is, how heartless, how godless, how hardened. None of that matters, because we've got a great commission that says, if you are full of the Holy Spirit, this world and others are going to see in you a strange boldness. Walk in the Spirit.
The Capital City Baptist Church is located at 1300 Red Street in beautiful Austin, Texas. We'd invite you to join us if you're in town. 10 a.m. Sunday mornings, 6 p.m. Sunday night, and 7:30 each and every Wednesday evening. Our phone number is 512-447-9454, but I'd like to point your attention specifically to our website, capitalcitybaptist.org. There you'll find information regarding service times, the staff, and all about Capital City Baptist Church. Additionally, you can find an archive of previously preached messages there for you to download, enjoy, and pass on to friends and family. Again, that website is capitalcitybaptist.org. That's capital with an O, citybaptist.org. Be sure and tell a friend and do your best to join us again for Pulpit Echoes, a ministry of the Capital City Baptist Church.